Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. This program is sponsored by P4P Muscle, the number one drug-free sponsorship foundation in the world. And if you are a drug-free athlete and are looking for a solid foundation to stand on and a vehicle to drive your goals, like what, Des?
Like a Mack truck through ice cream.
Check us out at p4pmuscle.com. And now, let's talk. And why am I talking in this voice? Because we're using a movie background to do this show. How are you doing, Des?
I am good. I was trying to figure out why we were talking in that voice. I'm like, why are we whispering? What's the secret?
It's
but there is no secret.
No, it's a secret. We just haven't stepped on it yet. Yes. It's
all
like
right,
one of those
right,
lost hidden map treasure movies. And we know the treasure's there, but we just got to get the right map to get to it. And that's
we
gotta
get
perfect.
There. Well, before
that
we continue
perfect.
On our treasure hunt for today, and that is perfect, I do want to touch on one little tidbit from our show on Tuesday. And if you guys weren't able to join us, it was a pretty darn good show. So do check out our archives and look for Financial Fitness or Financial Health with Jen Smith,
yes,
who is an entrepreneur.
Yes.
And yes.
I'm surprised that, I thought we'd get more like, what the heck is going on? I thought this is natural bodybuilding kind of comments. And instead, people are basically trying to save their house. Well, it's not funny, but I'm just my comical laugh is more to the point of, wow, that was totally unexpected that we would get so many people wanting to basically be a part of that show, and the things they were asking were really relative to what we were dealing
with. Yeah, no doubt. So. You know, to hear more about what Kaylin is just referencing there, check it out. So we got one comment that followed the show, and I just wanted to share it before we get into tonight's activities and shenanigans, because it really drives home, I think, part of the challenge for some folks when it comes to trying to be financially fit. And it's not uncommon from some of the same challenges that our bodybuilding brothers and sisters face from family and friends when it comes to their nutrition and their exercise regime or regimen, however you want to go pronounce it, and how they're viewed and the types of responses that they get. So, you know, I'll just read here what Charles shared with us, but he says, with all of social media, all of TV, and much of even the theater showing and displaying this incessant need to buy, 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 spend, how do you even begin to speak out against it and not be ostracized by family, friends, and loved ones? I've been called a miser for years simply because I choose to live within my means. And I just thought, man. So Charles, dude, feeling your pain on that one. That's tough. But I just have to say, keep fighting the fight. You know, there's nothing wrong with living within your means and being free. You don't have to be the big spender to be happy. And I think many of us have already found that out one way or another, oftentimes the hard way. But, you know, just like folks that, you know, their family doesn't quite understand why their training is as rigid as it is, why their nutrition is as strict as it is for them to hit their end goals. You know, those are the steps that need to be taken in order to, you know, either live the type of life that they want or reach the goals that they're striving for. And whether it's your physical health or your financial health, you know, the journey is pretty much the same. You have to make sacrifices to get to the point that you want to get to in order to, you know, live the kind of life that you want. So, Charles, thanks for sharing that for us. And for anyone else out there that has experienced the same thing as he is, you know what? We just say we're behind you. Keep on keeping on. And You know, just keep loving those people around you that don't understand. And maybe one day after watching you do the things that you do to be as financially fit as you are, you know, they're going to pick up on some tips there, and or they're going to be the ones asking you to say, hey, man, can you help me out? I see that you're living a life without debt and you don't have that stress or that burden. Can you help me get there too? And so that will be its own reward in and of itself. So anyway, that's all I had to say about that, but a lot of good information. And so check it out, Jim Smith and Financial Fitness. All right,
wow.
Kalen, what do we got for tonight?
Well, tonight, and I'm glad you used that analogy because it is, we are going on a comparison tonight, and I love the analogy you gave about fitness. Basically, if you just look at it in a different way, you'll see that there's a lot of similarities in it. And I'm just, wow, I mean, I got goosebumps because that's a great comparison and a great analogy to make that comparison. So kudos for that. And but tonight we're going to be talking about bodybuilding again, but we're also going to be comparing it to basically all a bunch of big industry studios that found a way to come together to give the people what they wanted. And, you know, basically that's the outcry right now is why don't we have a united front even though we have divided organizations? And I can't take credit for this one. This one is basically sent by Shamar. And he sent it, and he was really nice with it. And he's like, you know, I heard you guys talking about this a couple of times. And he just wanted us to have basically something that he is a big fan of, and I share as well. And I'm a big comic book kind of guy, and I just love it. And I love the atmosphere. I love the reality that is hidden in the comics, you know, of what's going on. And there was the question some years back of why certain things weren't coming about if so many people were in love with what was going on. And that was basically, how do you get the movie studios to come together since all of them had all these contracts to the different entities in the Marvel community? So basically, Sony had rights to so many Marvel characters. Universal had so many rights to Marvel characters. 20th Century Fox had rights to the characters, and Marvel, of course, had sold the rights to the characters, so they couldn't basically just do it on their own, because that was the biggest question. If Marvel is the creator, why can't they just go ahead and make their own movie? And that was the reason, because they had sold the rights. And if anybody remembers the Beatles wanting to do like all these albums, only to find out that Michael Jackson had bought the rights to it, and they had to ask him for permission. It was something like that with Marvel Studios. So basically you had all these big profitable industries that just weren't getting along because, you know, I'm better than you, you suck at this, and we can make a better movie. And everybody was saying the same thing about each other, and it became a legitimate hate. The natural community has no clue about the hatred that was going back and forth between those studios to make this not happen because, you know, I'm better and I'll make a better movie and you suck at this. And then it just constantly became like a shouting match, you know, really throwing each other in the dirt. And it was just really, really negative. I mean, toxic negative, but because there was so much money involved, they didn't care. And I think that's a good way to basically set up the premise for what's going on, not to the extent that the studios were doing, but there's a lot of egos, there's a lot of attitude, and there's a lot of people that don't want to get better because it won't come out of my arena. So it's basically saying, since I can't do it, it won't be done. And everything that has a need will find a way. And the need is coming from the athletes. The need is coming from the athletes' families and friends. And the need is coming from everyone outside of basically what people consider the actual arena itself. Until you come to the understanding that we are still part of the arena because we are involved in it. And that is where you come with not an executive, not a studio executive, not an owner, But basically, somebody from within decided, hey, I want to make a movie. And it's going to entail these people. And it's going to take apart from your community. It's going to take apart from your community. It's going to take apart from your community because these are all great ideas and concepts. They work well. The only problem is we're not working well with each other. The movie needs to be made. I want to make that movie, and I have the criteria to have that movie made. All I need you guys to do is get along long enough for this movie to happen. Everyone knew Spider-Man is a great catch. He's the number one guy in comics. I mean, he outsells stuff 10 to 1, 5 to 1, 8 to 1 in different parts of the region, in different parts of the world. The guy is a top seller, but he couldn't make a good, you know, movie because basically, the directors didn't get along with studios didn't get along with directors or the actors. They wanted these people. They, you know, pick and choose who they wanted. He said that's not how it's going to work. So what he did is he did a paradigm. And Des, are you familiar with paradigm?
I am not.
Okay, well, a paradigm is a good example would be when I was going to college. There was a college professor, and he was trying to come up with the concept of a better engine. And a student that came in with the design to make the better engine was not an engineer. He was a guy that worked with water, hydrogen. He was taking the hydrogen from the water to make a combustible engine that wasn't combustible. It would actually emit water vapor. And that is what is called a paradigm shift. So you basically say, we need a better engine. We need a more climate-friendly engine. We need something more healthy to the environment. And it did not come out of an engineering school. It came out of a guy who was working with water. And I don't know what happened with him. I mean, he kind of just vanished off the earth. Either they paid him well not to make the engine, or he just, you know, took the patent and it's sitting on it until it becomes something that'll sell real big. I'm not sure. But the fact that he had done that and it didn't come out of where everyone expected is what was most shocking. And it was because he had basically come up with the idea to make an engine that wasn't combustible, that didn't require gasoline, because he was thinking more about the environment than an engine. And you know, the college professor was shocked because this is just something that no one expected, but yet there it was, and it worked. You know, and it was doing, I mean, like the concept car that he made was doing hundreds of miles to the water gallon. Hundreds. And it was just, oh, okay, we got another quick. We're talking natural bodybuilding, guys. I'll get to that, and I do apologize, but we're basically setting up the realm in which natural bodybuilding can get along. So we're trying to basically give the premise of how it can work when no one wants to work together, and that's what we're talking about with the movie studio. So those who tuned in late, I apologize. You hear me talking about Spider-Man and all these other things, but they are relevant to what we're talking about. Dev, are you with me so far? Do you have any questions?
No, I mean, I'm following you, so I totally get you have one entity that pretty much owns or had or sold the right to a commodity to several people,
yes.
And, you know, the consumers were wanting one thing, but because all the entities who owned a little piece of, let's say, X weren't working together, nobody could get what they wanted.
Yes.
Are we kind
exactly.
of? Is that kind of where we're headed now, from the movie perspective? So we're talking about Marvel and then all these other studios that own the different superhero characters.
Yes, and because they didn't want to share, it wasn't as popular. I mean, it worked because they had a fan base. So you know, just like we have promoters that do their shows well, it works, but it's only going to the extent of the promoter. And honestly, the organizations won't even give the promoters the credit they deserve for doing well-run shows. The part that hurts greater, and we're not getting the greater simply because so many people are saying it won't work without me being in the lead. And that's why it doesn't work. It's because they're not being leaders by taking on that attitude. So all these CEOs were basically trying to save their brand, but they weren't saving the industry. It wasn't until they started seeing the downside, which is where we are right now, really. You know, we have a lot of great shows, but we don't have the top athletes. And I tagged you in a post. I don't know if you saw it, where basically they're pulling an NPC route, which is putting show dates on show dates of other shows to keep other shows from getting the potential and getting the most out of the potential that they're creating, which is sad, but, you know, it is happening. And I know the NPC does it to a lot of the natural shows because they want to bully them out of existence. Now we're actually feeding on ourselves and doing the same thing, which is shameful when you think about it, because I know how hard it is to basically promote a show and then, you know, have the athletes show up and have the audiences show up and then have one of your own natural basically family undermine it. It's quite hurtful and disrespectful, and it's quite a shame. And I know that it's not supposed to happen because, you know, everybody wants to take care of the athlete, but I'm thinking it's more of a bumper sticker slogan than actual truth right now, because, you know, basically, like JB says it a lot, and it's true, we're feeding on ourselves, and there's no good that can come from negative behavior. And the good basically comes from someone good looking past the negative behavior and still seeing the good in the industry. And I know those people are out there. We have many promoters that are doing that, and it's a shame that the people that basically step away from that that ideology are being run down because you're basically, you know, you're stirring up the water of discontent, but the discontent is there. And I don't think people are understanding just how much discontent and resentment is there. And we're losing a lot of natural athletes that are willing to basically go and compete in enhanced arenas, knowing they're going to lose, you know, hoping for the best, but really the deck is stacked against them. And for every one that wins, there's thousands that don't stand a chance simply because they're outweighed by 40, 50 pounds of enhanced muscle. So, you know, the idea is great. The analogy is, I mean, it's often, especially for me, because I understand comic books so well. I was very shocked to learn of the hatred and all the negative things that were going on behind the scenes with characters that I grew up loving. So, it was very hurtful, it was very shocking, and it was also very realistic in this day and age with how people speak to each other. You know, you've seen some of the social comments on social media. They're not social at all. They're antisocial. And if people are basically driven to be the best without the understanding of what the best takes, then there will be a misunderstanding of what the best is, and I put that in quotes, because, you know, if you don't have a true understanding of what good is, how can you be good? Dez, I'm going to throw this first one to you. Dez, are you really keeping up with Kaylin, or are you just saying that because you guys agree with everything? And no, we don't agree with everything.
Yeah, we don't agree with everything. You haven't been listening to us very closely, if that's what you think. Now, we agree on a lot of things, and the things that we agree to disagree on, we're cool with because we respect each other, but we don't agree on everything. But I am keeping up with Kaylin on what he's saying, and I'm waiting for the next phase of the story of so we've got a lot of discontent in the movie studio industry, and much more than we've ever seen or hopefully ever will see on the natural part of the bodybuilding community. So what happened? How did they bring it together? How did they end up working together? I'm waiting for the shoe to drop here.
Okay, well, here we go. Here's the shoe dropping. They brought in, well, they couldn't agree on a director for a movie. And he's actually a comic book fan. So his, I mean, you're talking over 30 years of reading comic books, magazines, cartoons, you know, basically back since, even before the Batman with Jack Nicholson. So he wanted to do a Marvel movie, but it had to have Spider-Man. And he went about creating some of the most mass confusion in the industry, but he was taking care of the consumer. And so what he did is he took a character from Sony. He took a character from Universal. He took a character from all these industries and said, they have to be in my movie. I'm not doing an end around, you know, because a lot of the industry had been putting the same kind of character in a movie, but you couldn't use this name because that was owned by that industry, I mean, that company. You couldn't use this character because that was owned by this one. So you could do like a mimic of it, but not the actual character itself. And this man said, look, in order for this movie to work, these names have to be in there, and these identities have to be a part of it. No ifs, ands, or buts. And because they realized, hey, you know, this is a good director, if we don't sign on, then it's going to make people understand that we're really not for the consumer. We're more for our own ego. And when he basically brought all of that in, he said, put the pressure on me because I already know it'll work, because I already know the fan base, because I am one. So, you know, as much as people were fighting against it, and trust me, in life there's going to be thousands of people that say it can't work. But you only need the one person in the right position, and it will work because they know a way, because they understand the industry. He understood the hate. He didn't care about it. He didn't have hate. He understood the work that it was going to take and the way it was going to have to work. But like I said, he had over 40 years of knowledge of these characters. So he already knew how it worked because this is what the fans want to expect. He never went out of the industry to get it to work. He just had to go without them because they didn't want to work together. And I was just blown away by that because, you know, he never took a negative step to do it. Everything he did was simply to get this movie made because that's what everybody wanted. And then you had Civil War, and then you had Spider-Man Homecoming, which are very popular movies and very successful movies. And they work. And you look at Guardians of the Galaxy. That worked. I'm sorry, Guardians of the Galaxy Part 2. That was the one where he had a lot of say in it. And he was doing the background work, and I can't remember his name right now, but he didn't care for the recognition. He cared for creating the movie. And that's what it's going to take because, you know, we have a lot of egos, obviously. And I think that's so funny that, you know, one of the characters in the movie was Ego, the Living Planet, because, you know, that was basically a step on big industry because, you know, they can't be a person. They have egos the size of a planet. And so this thing's running around masquerading as a human. But really, it was a planet in disguise. Go figure that. My computer shut off. Okay, Des, go ahead.
No, I mean, I can definitely see the parallels. I don't know that I have a whole lot to add to that at this point. I mean, we've had this discussion. We've had it several times. We know what needs to be done. It's just a matter of getting there. But I think the point that I draw out of this that I hope some of our listeners are grasping onto too is that we are not the only ones. So, you know, for someone to sit back and just talk about how broke this may be or that may be or what have you within the natural bodybuilding community, yes, we have our challenges, but it's not a unique thing. There are several industries that go through the same thing. So If anything, I don't know, it might sound kind of weird to say that we can take comfort in that, but we can, because if we see that other industries have faced the same issue and have found ways to overcome it and pull it together, then, you know, that means that, you know, eventually, hopefully, we're going to be on that same track too, and that it can be done. So I say, hey, it's all a good thing. Question here, and I guess, Kaylin, you're the only one I got, so I'm going to direct this to you and we can discuss it. But how can the one person come up in the industry and be successful when so many are working against it? And this question is from Dale. So his question is, how can this one guy, I mean, yes, he was successful and respected, and that helped him, but how was he able to come through and make this kind of change when nobody was wanting to jump on his train in the beginning except for him?
Well, there were many components to that. And Dale, thanks. That's a good question. The components that it took was basically the industry was riding on the fan base alone. They weren't making good movies. They were making well-named characters of a movie, but they really weren't doing justice to the character. And once the honeymoon was over, that's when the profit margin started sinking, because then we realized they're not even trying to even come close to the characters that we know and love. So, you know, Batman, what they did with that was just ridiculous back in the day. And granted, you know, it was great to see all these heroes and villains, but they were comical in comics. And it wasn't a comedy drawn or written comic, so it was hard to digest. And then they had to do with the Batman Returns. And people said, okay, now we're back on board. And I think that was one part of the component. The second one was basically having someone that knows the business. So all the ego, all the hype, all the crap that's basically put out to the community, he knew the backstory to it. So he didn't believe any of that. And, you know, there are good people. Like Dad was saying, they're great people. We know plenty of great people in this industry. But there are also people that we're finding out that aren't so great, but they just have a great way of masquerading greatness. And then there was the understanding that he had to hold his own. And he could never see no as an option because he was a fan. And I think that's where, you know, you hear so many times, and we'll go back to natural bodybuilding as a comparison, because there's so many of us that could have given up. There's so many of us that, you know, were told, you know, it'll never work, it'll never happen. This is just not something for you. And you find a way because there's that passion that drives you. If you're passionate yep. about anything, you will find a way. And this man had all the components necessary for this to work because he was already driven to make that movie years ago. I mean, like right now, you're seeing the fruit of all his labor, but this is years of working behind the scenes to make it happen. Because, you know, the Marvel industry is nothing new, but it is new to a lot of millennials and basically people that are coming on the scene that only watch movies. Comic books have been around for decades, and these characters have been in our hearts for decades. So we grew up with them. They're like family, and that is the way it was with him. So his passion was well-earned and well-deserved. So he's done the work. He's done the research, and he was reading the comic books before he even realized he was going to be a movie director, writer, or anything else. So everything fell into place, but he held his own to make sure that it worked. So even though, you know, you still had the same executives saying, we should try this, he already knew it wouldn't work. Because he's a fan. Well, you know, we should bring in these characters or this actor. He already knew they wouldn't work because he knew they didn't have the background in the comics. I mean, the reason, it's so funny because the reason Deadpool worked, and I hope people are understanding my references to movies because I watched them all, because like I said, I'm a comic book fan. But the reason Deadpool worked is because Ryan Reynolds had already been assuming the character since 2004. He was Deadpool for over a decade in his mind, and he's already trying to make it work. The reason that movie sold is because he was so passionate about having it put to the screen. The budget that was given to that movie was so small compared to every other Marvel movie. It was embarrassing. And look at the ratings and look at the profits that they got from it, because everybody was ready for Deadpool, especially after the Wolverine crap that they made him. And he was the same character. He was just basically given better writing and better directing. And that is why that movie worked, because it was actual more true to the Deadpool we knew in the comics. The same thing can be done in the natural community. You have natural athletes that are exceptional. You have basically the atmosphere that's ripe with true competition. The only thing that's keeping that from happening is because so many people that compete are scared of going to another organization because they might lose the status they have in an organization they win, which is shameful. Because if you're a top athlete, you're going to be a top athlete if judged fairly. We say there's no politics, but we have people in fear of this or that. No, this should not be. If we're all wanting to see, and I'll put this in air quotes, the same movie. Everyone's crying out for the same thing. And it's basically having that one person with the understanding of what it takes. I mean, really what it takes, not what we think, not what we can speculate, because everybody's got a theory, everybody's got a hypothesis, everybody's got some idea. But when you actually take it off the blueprint and put it into reality, how would it work? How can it work? I mean, I love the way Liquid Spectrum was talking when they were saying, you know, we want to get sponsors in there to make these pictures cheaper and the videos cheaper. You know, that's putting, you know, up to the grindstone to give something shape. And you know, the fact that we had the financial, I can't remember her name. Jill, was it?
Jen Smith.
Jen, okay, there we go, Jen. When she was talking about how to get a reality of your money and not just this keeping up with the Joneses mentality. And I think that's where a lot of things are right now. Is, you know, everybody's trying to keep up with something instead of basically opening the door to make it happen. You know, don't go in debt in your hopes. Don't go in debt in your dreams. They should be dreams. They should be, you know, they should be real things that you can create. And you don't have to go in debt to do it. And I'm talking mentally or physically. And we have everything in place. And the fact that there's people speaking out against things that are working is amazing to me. Were you, you know, I remember Lise had posted about the Visa gift card, and there was actually somebody that said, you know, that's not a good idea because it's like a gimmick. And I was thinking, you know, what? But there are going to be people that speak out in that fashion because it's so different, it doesn't make sense to them because they basically become status quo. And
so I know this question is going to come, Kaylin, here real quick before you continue, but if you're, you know, your example was Leaf and the Visa gift card, what was the context of what Leaf was actually sharing?
He was saying, oh, yeah, thank you. Okay. The Minnesota Mayhem, you know, Dez can speak about the goodie bags. I mean, they do an awesome job with those. But now also the amateurs that get their pro card in that show are going to get $1,000 Visa gift card. And it was several people that were speaking out against that because they were saying then it undermines the pros that win at pro shows. And I love what Leaf has said as a rebuttal, because he said, look, if we're treating the amateurs this way, then that pushes pressure to treat the pros better, which it
yes,
always
sir.
Should have been. Go ahead.
No, I'm agreeing with you.
Mm-hmm. And I was just shocked that someone that has been saying there needs to be more prize money to the pros, which it should. You're talking about 40 years of existence. Something should have improved other than, you know, the fees on competing. I was really taken aback where you have improvement and things getting better and people not seeing that far ahead enough to say that works. That will bring in better competition. That will bring in more competitors. I mean, the fact that he had to cut off at 150 competitors lets you know that people wanted to do his show anyway. But now he's raising the bar again to basically keep and ensure that we have true competition and not just five people on, or 10 people on stage. You have actual competition. And that's what every competitor wants. Dev, I know you understand that.
Oh, definitely. 100%. And I did, and that is, you know, I think I missed all of that conversation that you're referencing, but I do find that crazy that someone would say that that's too much of a gimmick to, you know, and I get what they're saying is that, you know, competition is its own reward, but you know what? $1,000 sure doesn't hurt. And if that gets people, it draws more people to the show, more serious people to put in a little more serious effort. And I'm not saying that the people who show up aren't putting in a serious effort. So let's not go there for those of you who were thinking that. But what I am saying is, in my mind, that just raises the bar for of competition of who's going to show up. Because they were already incentivized enough, but now that an additional $1,000 is on the line, I'm sure as heck going to make sure that I've brought my A++ game so I can walk home with that. If I wasn't already on fire to win, I'm doubly on fire now. I mean, that's just that mentality. I guess I don't understand how it's a gimmick if it motivates people to push even harder.
And
or for someone who is thinking,
was,
I'm going to sit that show out, now they're in it. And so the level of competition is even greater, which if you're not an athlete who doesn't crave the best competition on the stage, then I find that crazy versus the $1,000 reward.
Well, my thing, and I had commented about this, is that why wasn't this happening 10, 15, 20 years ago?
Sure.
You know, why does it take Leaf being the one to say, hey, you know, the competitors should be treated better? If that's the slogan and bumper sticker that's been said for the past 40 years, we want what's best for the competitor. We all know that it costs money to compete. We all know that it takes a lot of time, energy, and effort. We all know that there's a lot of pain and suffering that no one will see but us. And then there's the pain and suffering that's shared with our support and supporters. And you tell me that you can't see something better than what we're currently dealing. That is shocking in itself. The fact that you would speak out against the people that have a better chance now than you did then sounds, to me, sounds more selfish and you know, like you've been slighted, but I'm saying you haven't been slighted. You have that opportunity just like everyone else. But the fact that you would speak against it when it's an improvement, this is what you were crying for years ago. And now that somebody else has it, well, you know, no, it doesn't seem fair. So, you know, this is the outcry that people don't get to see that you and I do, and it hurts. Because you're not hurting just that show by speaking against it. You're hurting the improvement of competition and basically the addressing of the competitor that has been slighted for decades. And when I say the competitor, I'm not talking about an individual. I'm talking to competitors that have been just can't see better. They've been trained to see less. And that is frightening. That is truly frightening. I can't imagine going to a job where every day you put on more responsibility and more position and pay me less. And every year it gets that way. You take benefits from me. You take my retirement. You take my everything. And you say, but, you know, you're now a supervisor of A, B, and C instead of just A. And now you're in charge of 150 people instead of the 50. So you get more work and less pay. And for some reason, because you have the status of a supervisor, you're a more important person in our world. But in reality, you're still not being addressed the way you should be. I'm saying that we can do better. I'm saying that someone out there knows a better way to do this. Someone knows the ins and outs of every aspect and part of this industry, the natural body community industry, and has that solution right in front of them. We just got to lay the groundwork and the foundation to make sure that when they step up, that they'll be the most successful person in the industry, bar none, because that's what has to happen. If Des wants it, Halen wants it, all the people that are really supporters of natural bodybuilding want it. You are out there. We know it. I know that person exists because we're in reality. Just step up, and I guarantee we got your back. I'll just say that, and I'll pass it back to them.
Well, all I have to say is a challenge has been issued. So I hope who's ever listening, if you're that one, and while we're talking about movie themes, aren't those always the best movies where the one rolls in and saves the world? Because, you know, everything stems, at least in my opinion, the first one started in the Bible. Okay, so we had the one that came and saved the world, right? And then from there, we have Star Wars, and we have Matrix, and we have, I don't know, how many ones are out there? There are so many movies where there's a one. There's Jet Li, the one. There's always the one that comes and thwarts evil. So, hey, why not? Let's go for it. Let's get to the one. And let's get it done. But until then, we're going to keep rocking and rolling and doing what we can do. There's a lot of still competitive season open this year, and 2018 is still going to be moving and grooving and getting better, because every year, folks, it gets better. Regardless of what it is we have to say and what work needs to be done, it's still getting better. So I don't know, it might sound like we're sending mixed messages, but we're not, because change is happening. Sometimes it just feels like it's ever so slow. Sometimes it's halted. Sometimes it's interrupted, but it still manages to make a way, to make a way. So it is still there. So, Sarah, I'm not sure if this thing's got clarified for you or not. Kaylin, she had shared with us earlier. She says, I like the comparison, but I'm really not familiar with your paradigm analogy. So if that's still kind of cloudy for you, I will have Kaylin get to you with you one-on-one and knock that out, and hopefully that will become more clear. But basically, a paradigm shift is a change in thinking, moving from one widely accepted theory, platform, way of doing things, and adopting something totally different from the norm. And that turns out to be one of the best things that could have ever happened to whatever that paradigm was. So a paradigm, something that's commonly held. A paradigm shift is when you're moving away from the popular notion to something unpopular, and you wind up with something even better. So there you have it. I hope that helps. But I think, you know, just a lot to think about. And I'm really in love with the fact that Kaylin put out the call to action of saying, hey, we know what needs to be done. We just need that person who's going to tip the cup. And, I mean, that's really what we're watching for. So, hey, bring it on. Let's see what's going to happen. And with that, I don't really have anything to add to that, Kaylin. If you've got some parting thoughts, that's cool. Otherwise, I think we're ready for a snickerdoodle shout-out.
Yes. The one thing that I love is that you brought up the movie comparison. We would just look at the movie and make that analogy to natural bodybuilding. You have basically a person that is part of something that realizes something is just not right. I can't put my finger on it. I don't really know what it is, but I know the way things are going just doesn't fit well in my soul. And, you know, you look at The Matrix, you look at Star Wars, it's basically the industry or the status quo, and then the understanding that this could be better for everyone instead of being better for just a few. And they stood up against it, and everyone that thought they knew right realized that I'm not right, I'm just going with the flow of society. But society isn't always right. And I said this in Bible class, and I said it in Sunday school. There's a lot of things that are culture, but that doesn't make them right culture. There's a lot of ignorance in our lives simply because we grew up in it. But we know there's something not right with the ignorance that we're living in. Once you have that understanding, it's no longer ignorant. You're coming to an understanding, and you just need to go with the understanding that you're coming into, because fighting to get back to ignorance is stupid. And if we keep basically turning and looking the other way when something is really wrong, then we become idiots. And I will not be a part of an idiot culture. And we need to actually open our eyes, see the reality of what it is, regardless of how bad it may be. And I love Dez's comparison to fitness, because if you think about it, the times when you're the most sore is when you're doing the most growth. And it's going to hurt. It's going to be some pain. I remember the first time I walked into the gym thinking I could change my body in a day. And I worked like I was going to change my body in a day, and I couldn't walk for 3 days. My legs, bad man, thinking I was going to get them to grow overnight. And I couldn't walk for a week. There's those times that we challenge ourselves to do better, but we do it with the thought that it's going to happen in a day. And that's not how life is. It takes time, because there has to be an understanding. Your body has to understand the challenges you're given. Your mind has to understand the challenges you accept. Your society has to understand the changes that you already see and have been practicing, not in theory, something you already know will work. You've been doing it yourself for years. They just have to understand it can be done. Because until they have that understanding, it doesn't make sense. This is where we are right now in natural bodybuilding, and I'm so thankful. Like Dad said, we're not speaking against the industry. We're speaking against the ignorance that slows its improvement. And that is not saying I hate anything or anyone. I just know it can be better, because I'm a part of it. And if God's a part of my life, then it's going to be better. It has to improve. And people can't suffer because of ignorance. We have to bring that light to the world. And I accept that challenge, and I know Dez does as well. So granted, we don't agree on everything, but we do agree on the one thing. And that's what makes it special. And that's what brings us passion. And that's what drives us. If I love oranges, it's a fruit. If she loves apples, it's a fruit. If we want to keep fruit on trees and healthy, then we're going to take care of Mother Earth. She never has to like an orange. I never have to like an apple. But we do have to love Mother Earth. And that is what we're talking about right now. And if you can understand that when you want things to grow, it has to be watered. It has to be taken care of. It has to be addressed. You can't just let weeds overrun everything and say somehow or another it'll still find a way. Because even if it finds a way, it's going to struggle more than it should. And if you're a part of it, why would you want to see it struggle? Ryan McCabe show coming up. Another example.
Yes.
Good promoter doing good things for the competitors. That show, I mean, he's basically been trying to up himself from last year, which all of us try to do as competitors. And now you have a competitor that is a promoter. Doug's show went really well. I saw the lineup and the pros. I was very pleased with that level of competition in the pro ring, because, I mean, those guys basically were bringing their A game, like they're the same. And when you have promoters stepping up and stepping out, it's really special, and the competitor knows when they're being treated like a competitor and not just a piece of meat. So I know Brian McKay's going to do the same thing. Brian, I'm really proud of what you're doing. Since it's Throwback Thursday, we did like a summit for the competitors that came together to show unity up at Meshack and Tyann's house. And they sent me a picture, and I'm really happy with that picture. It's framed. It's magnet, so I put it on the fridge. I'll take a picture, and I'll share it to the Midwest Muscle page. I was just blown away. It meant that much to them because it meant that much to us that someone would basically afford that opportunity. And we're not going to let it die. This is not something that's going to be a one and done. It's going to be different areas, different venues, different places, and different people stepping up. But the idea is the same, giving back to the community that's basically been supporting us. So basically we went out there and took donations, toilet paper, towels, you know, things that, you know, people don't necessarily miss because they can afford it, but for the person that can't afford it, that's a really big miss in a household, and it doesn't make it a home. So, you know, giving back is not just on stage. Giving back is not just in your gym, but basically reach out to the people that have already been reaching out to you. And, you know, God is in it, and so I have to be as well. And I probably went off topic there, but I just wanted to throw that out there.
Hey, no worries, because when it's real, it is real. So with that, I'm pretty bummed that I'm not going to be able to be at the Windy City Natural, but you know what? Got to move the boy into college. I have mom duties that weekend, so that's going to take precedence, but what did you say? I missed it.
I said, please give the audience that information because, you know, they're missing you when you don't, when you're not at the shows, and but you do have a very valid reason because you're a mother.
Yes, I got kids to run around. So being off topic, but I'll make this quick. So before I had a family, first I wasn't convinced that I even wanted kids, and then I got married and I thought, okay, you know, kids could be a good thing. And then I thought I wanted three, and then I had one, and I was like, oh, maybe two is enough because I didn't want him to be an only child. And then God in his infinite wisdom still wound up with three. And they keep me on my toes, absolute blessings, each and every one of them, probably the source of about, you know, 75% of my gray hairs, but I wouldn't have it any other way. And, you know, as they get older, life gets busier and we travel more for sports and college visits. And now we're moving the boy into college and it just kind of keeps ratcheting up from there. So there we have it. And KLO says, I need to explain the cookie donut joke. which one? You mean the one where anybody posts anything remotely related to a cookie or a donut and Kalen thinks the whole world is conspiring against him, that joke? Yeah, that's just kind of how it happens. That's just kind of how it happens. You know, so, and I will be responsible and, you know, admit my part of the quote unquote conspiracy, even though it's really not. I may have given Kalen a little one too many hard times about cookies and donuts, and now dude's just paranoid. So don't post about cookies or donuts, because the first thing that's going to happen is Kalen's going to say, Desiree Fletcher, did you put them up to this? And then I'm going to say, no, but I should have, and then I'm going to egg the situation on. That's, you know, that's just what's in my blood. That's how it works. But that's kind of it. So if you are a party to that, that's what happens. You know, right now I've even got a GIF on my Facebook page that I just posted that Kalen's going to come back and say that I was torturing him with. And yes, it has to do with cookies. But no, it wasn't because of him. It's just because that, you know, the cookie monster is my spirit animal. Which is for a bodybuilding competitor, right? Right? But it's true.
Oh, no,
it's true.
Did not.
It's true. I sure did. It's true. It's true, Kaylin. It's just true. If you cut me, I will bleed chocolate chips. Okay? It's just the way it is. And I am okay with that. I'm okay with that. No, I have no regrets. I don't feel bad about it. It just is what it is. Unfortunately, I don't get to eat cookies. I shouldn't say I don't. I can eat anything I want. I choose not to eat cookies as much as I would like to eat them.
Right now with smiley faces.
Yeah. So Bill and Charles, that's the deal. So if it's cookies or it's donuts, I make sure that Kaylin is aware that someone is posting about it. Or he makes me aware that someone is posting about it. And it just has taken on a life of its own. You know, it's kind of like, you know, you guys think we agree on everything. We sure don't, because he loves snickerdoodle protein and I'm a chocolate girl. And we just don't mix on that one. But we haven't battled on that one in a while.
Then.
But I think that's gonna rev up. I think it might rev up again, especially in October with the mayhem and our mug cake sampling.
Guess what we're sold out of again?
Yeah, well, that's because you buy it all. Stop and let somebody else buy some. If I bought as much chocolate protein as you buy snickerdoodle, they'd be sold out of that too. Come on, who's with me? I know it's truth. So while I'm ahead, I'm going to go ahead and say, okay, give your snickerdoodle shout out. Come on, let's have it.
Snickerdoodle is number one snickerfoodle.
And I'm going to say hashtag chalk for the win, and then followed by, on behalf of myself, Kaylin, and the boys at P4P Muscle, chocolate whey protein. Your body's a temple, so let's build it.